Thank you for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. I am your host, Jerome. Man, I need to come up with a different nickname. I used to go by J-Love, you know what I'm saying? Some people call me J-Rock. It's all love, man. This is volume number 42 of the Quarantine Lean. Tonight, I'm going to be doing my first album review of the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. If anybody's been following my podcast prior to this, when I first started, it was based upon different things, man. I was focused on economics and different things like that, but I had to change up. I had to change my audience up because I just felt this is a lot more natural. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. We're coming off a historic week of the actual Jeezy and Gucci battle. You know, of course, some people say Jeezy dominated. Some people say Gucci dominated. If you want to leave your comments in regards to that battle, I would say check out my Jeezy versus battle and Gucci versus battle recap that I did last week. This week, what I'm going to be focusing on is the Recession 2 from Jeezy. Man, what a perfect transition from the actual streaming of the versus battle to an actual all-out classic. Me, myself, personally, I'm one of the biggest Jeezy fans that you know. Make no mistake about that. I've always supported Young Jeezy within whatever situation that has came up. I've always rolled with his music. Even sometimes when the actual content was there, but the actual music, and this is just my opinion, the music quality wasn't there. Sometimes, but I still roll with him. This is my man's though. This is my man's 100 grand. And this is one of the main reasons why all Jeezy fans will know that this Recession 2 is an all-out classic, right? First of all, the reason why it's an actual classic is because of this. I think that Jeezy is better when he is delivering commentary mixed with the Yola, mixed with the spoon in the pot. And he's also dropping grown man games or gems. I said games, grown man gems. And here's what I mean. When Jeezy is talking about on the track Therapy for My Soul, and he basically, you know, exercised his demons and talked about Fred Gibbs. He was talking about Coach K. He was talking about some different things that went wrong in business. You know, I could tell that he was genuine in regards to that. And then I guess obviously he had been holding these things in. He came at 50 Cent, which I don't think was an actual diss. It was more, you know, 50 can be, and I'm a 50 Cent fan myself. 50 Cent can be, man, he can be a social media bully at sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, even though it's funny as hell, we please have to understand that 50 Cent, how he does things, sometimes, man, that shit could be bogus. It could be affecting people's career. And it's just not cool. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we all remember the bullshit that happened with Rick Ross' baby mama. You see what I'm saying? When he uploaded that shit on YouTube, bro. I mean, let's be honest. That shit was not cool. You see what I'm saying? And we know the bullshit that he continuously put artists like Young Buck and Tia Marie through, you know what I'm saying? By constantly suing them, by constantly having them in court. You know, I think Young Buck had to file bankruptcy, you know, just to get from up under this dude, just to produce more music. I mean, to me, the shit is petty as hell. And, you know, so he checked dude on that, on some real grown man shit, and was like, hey, bro, you know what? You could probably do this shit to other people. Listen, I'm Jeezy. Fall back with all of that. Simple and plain. and wholesome. And then you got the classic shit that he remade. A lot of people, I mean, I'm 42, so I can understand and appreciate the track The Ghetto with him and E-40 saluting the Bay. My God, a lot of people don't understand this. Too Short, a Bay representer, right? Like, hands down, you know, he created, his music gave us a picture of what Oakland looked like back in the, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s. Like, I was a young boy. And when Too Short came out with The Ghetto and those funky beats and shit, and man, it was just unbelievable. Jeezy paid homage to him and also brought another Bay legend, E-40, on to do a feature. I mean, that was crazy. And I'm just listening at these things and I'm just like, wow, this is, you know, this is forever. Jeezy held it down in every scenario, and I'm loving the energy that he's putting off. And he also came through with Glory. I mean, or The Glory with him and Neo. It was, come on, man. I mean, this is timeless. And then what really, for all my Tupac fans out there, I'm not exactly sure the reason why I have to do the review, but this is just a part of, you know, my transitioning in regards to the podcast to inform listeners about what I thought about the actual artwork that's being put out in hip hop. That's what my goal is. So for all my Tupac fans out there, back in the day, to live and die in LA, it's the place to be. Jeezy has yet again remade another classic. And when I tell y'all it's banging, Live and Die in the A. And he talks about, you know, the sets, the people throwing, you know what I'm saying? The niggas on old Nat throwing up sets again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was crazy. He talked about the scammers, hustlers, and basically people that's broke, and basically gave you a whole rundown of the A. You know what I'm saying? And talked about how Atlanta is no pushover neither, you know, because people will actually kill you out there on bullshit for no reason. So it was really, really, I think it was really, really, how should I say this? Unbelievable how he came back, yet so humble, but yet so aggressive in an actual industry that it shows, or that shows that this is a grown man's game. I mean, this is a young man's game, right? And it's still good to see that, I wouldn't say old school players such as Jeezy, and I wouldn't say old school players, but it's still showing that, you know, if you stay true to yourself and true to your art, and you're delivering message with good beats, that you can still make it. That hip hop is not always a young man's game. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to be young to be successful. And I think that right now, with all the violence that's going on in hip hop, the gun violence and people being murdered, this was something that needed to be happen, or that needed to happen. For anybody, I'm still an old school dude. You know what I'm saying? I listen to all music within the hip hop genre. I'm going to be doing I'm going to save that because I don't just want to put everything out there, because basically this is about Jeezy. But if anyone remembers, Pimp C and Young Jeezy had a disagreement, right? About, basically it was about when Jeezy first came out and he was, you know, Mr. 17-5, you know what I'm saying? The Pimp C came through on some grown man, you know, old school trap, and was like, hey man, stop saying all those fake prices and this and this and this. And, you know, he came out and was talking about, you know, different things that was going on in Atlanta and, you know, the South. And he, you know, as time would tell, this is right on. And if you guys would afford me a couple moments to highlight some of the things that was actually on the interview when PMC was talking about homosexuality and how it was unfair for men to be on the down low and still with other women, you know, and how they should actually come out. These are things that Pimp C said. And then he talked about the South needs to do a lot of different things to reunite and clean up their and clean up our own house before someone else comes in to do it. And that we all need to stay united, and we need to. This was around the time, you know, we were just fresh coming off of the T.I. Little Flip beef, and they was like, man, you know, both of these people are kings, you know, in their own rights, and how they should respect, right, one another's point of view, okay? And he also talked about, and this is where Jeezy is coming in at, you see what I'm saying? About how important it is to have social commentary in your music, right? Because he talks about, and he talked about it in his interview, and a lot of people could look this up, right? The Pimp C interview in Atlanta, where he talked about that we also have to, you know, that everybody is glorifying drugs, but we also have to talk about the other part of the dope game. You see what I'm saying? About how when people get indicted, about, you know what I'm saying, when they homies turn on them, and when they end up getting killed, or when they're in jail, and who's putting money on your books and different things like that, man. It was, as I think about it, this album is almost a reflection of some of the things that happened in the past, but it's, I could see so many different levels of game that Jeezy is dropping. You see what I'm saying? On here. And it's, you know, and I could just vividly relate back to, you know, that Pimp C conversation, because he's coming with heavy social commentary along with good beats and just a phenomenally delivered project. To wrap this up, I feel as though that one of the main things that solidify Young Jeezy, or Jeezy, or Snowman, or however y'all wanna, you know, whatever y'all wanna call him, I'm gonna call him Jeezy. I don't call him Young Jeezy anymore. I just call him Jeezy. Was that back in 2009 was a historic year for the United States. It was an actual, how should I say, one of the greatest transitions that we've ever seen from a political standpoint, because it was one of the first times that we have seen a person of color, which is President Barack Obama, coming to his own and being named the actual president. But if anybody knows, back then, we were also in what? A recession. And to me, I'm gonna speak personally for myself. When the recession came out, man, I was in a fucked up position. Make no mistake about it. You know, it was so many different things going on with me from a physical standpoint, I mean, from a mental standpoint and from a financial standpoint. I was fucked up. But man, when that recession shit came on and I listened to Jeezy, I'm not gonna even lie to you. You know, I was able to mentally, you know, still push my way through. Not only because of we had a black president that inserted so much of confidence into the nation, but it was somebody that I could relate to, who I felt at the time was a mental juggernaut as far as motivating yourself and getting money through in any season, right? Jeezy did that. And when he delivered the recession too, I think this is also a monumental time in the political forum, to where we're also seeing another transition from what some people would call an actual racist, for what some people would call an actual tyrant, of a president, or inconsistent from a president standpoint, from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. And then we have Kamala Harris, or Miss Kamala Harris, transitioning as the first person of color, as an actual female vice president, right? So you guys can take away from that whatever you would like. But the recession, the album came through, because a lot of people do think that we're going to be spiraling to an actual recession due to the actual COVID-19 that's been going on. That's one of the main reasons why I'm doing the quarantine lean session. That's some of the main reasons why you all are receiving this type of content now. So I salute Jeezy for dropping the album and the actual timing and to doing everything with Jeezy. So what I would like to have you all to do was, man, leave me one of your comments. Man, like my podcast, share my podcast, provide me with feedback, right? As far as the content that I'm delivering as well, that's going to make me better. I would like to have you all to leave me feedback in regards to what were the highlights on the actual Jeezy album. Was it stimulus check? Was it therapy for my soul? Was it praying right? You know, I didn't even discuss that. Oh man, the almighty dollar. You see what I'm saying? It don't seem like I could get through a damn a podcast without talking about black economics and how much that means to our community, to our culture, to our well-being here in the United States. And for everybody that doesn't know what that means, listen to the almighty black dollar. Check it out. Give your feedback. This is important for us in regards to how we spend our money and how we support each other in business. Praying right, though. You see what I'm saying? Are you praying? And I'm finna get out of here with this. You know what I'm saying? But before I do, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. I see that from my analytics, you know, my listeners are starting to change, man. Y'all share this with y'all people. Y'all check me if I'm wrong. Y'all do whatever y'all need to do. But I'm going to close out with this, right? And this is where I feel as though that this commentary is coming in, because me, myself, you know, I consider myself as an OG right now. I'm not in my 30s. I'm in my 40s, my guy. You know what I'm saying? Did I ever get on the interstate hustling weight? Nope. Man, I went to college. Okay. Do I have bodies that I speak about? Nope, my brother. You know what? I actually fed the homeless. I was president of the Black Student Association. You see what I'm saying? Am I from the streets? Am I from the hood? Yes, I am. Have I ever prayed for a better life? Yes, I have. You see what I'm saying? But with this, and I'm going to dig into my Sunday school bag just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Man, you got to be praying for the right things. You see what I'm saying? To manifest in your life. And, you know, when Jeezy was talking about, you probably prayed for $1 million, but you ain't praying right. You see what I'm saying? Hey, look, that was a real, real live bar that I feel as though that a lot of us young African-American men need to understand about how to pray and about how to speak things into fruition through God and prayer and through action. You know what I'm saying? So I had to take my hats off. I don't care, regardless of the fact of you, what religious denomination that you under. You feel me? You have to know how to pray. So I salute Jeezy for doing that, man. And I salute everybody for being on the for checking out the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, Quarantine Lean. This is volume number 42. And tonight is the night that's going to go down in my podcast history of delivering the first rap album review. I think I did pretty good. You guys let me know, man. Like I said, you could always check me out at the Thornton Media on Facebook, Jerome Thornton on Facebook, Rome Empire 77 on Twitter. Actually, on Twitter, I actually changed it to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, but it's still up under Rome Empire. It used to be up under Jerome Thornton. I didn't like that, so I changed that. And then on Instagram at VirtualHustle77. Y'all get at me, man. Thanks again for tuning in. Y'all have a great evening. And man, happy holidays to everybody that's out there. Happy holidays to everybody that's out there that's going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. Me, myself, personally, I'm split on whether I'm going to my family member's house or am I actually, I think I'm gonna chill at the crib, my guy. I'm a new homeowner. I'm rehabbing my home. My upstairs is done. My bathrooms and shit is done. I'm finna come down and remodel my kitchen and do some other things. So I think I'm just gonna stay home, man, and barbecue a brisket or something. Some player. You know what I'm saying? None too, you know what I'm saying? So y'all celebrate, man, and quarantine the best way possible. Please believe that the COVID-19 is real and you don't want that shit to affect you and your family directly. Again, thanks for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast, and I'm gonna holler at y'all, man. Peace and blessings.